Take your place on your throne.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to the True Word of God. I am Apostle Vernon Whitaker with Pastor Betty Whitaker of First Church Fivefold Fellowship Ministries in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We want to welcome you to our show. Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is Chief Apostle Vernon Whitaker, along with my lovely wife, Apostle Betty Whitaker of First Church Fivefold Fellowship in Port St. Lucie, Florida. The address is 1689 Biltmore Street, Port St. Lucie, Florida, 34984. Sunday morning. Our Sunday school starts at 11 o'clock. Our morning service starts at 12. If you don't have a good home church, if you're looking for a good place to come, if you want to worship God, come visit us tomorrow morning, starting at 11 o'clock, and then at 12. Oh, yes, my wife just reminded me, tomorrow morning we'll be up in St. Cloud. This is our last day of our Cooper Convention that we're having a great time. We're going to St. Cloud every night. It's having a good time. Good time. So we kind of close the church down and we go to St. Cloud. But next Sunday and Tuesday night, we have Bible study. Bible study started at 6:30 on Tuesday night. 6:30 on Tuesday night. Come on out and join us. If you want to learn the Word of God, if you want to be able to hear the Word of God, come join us. And you can call me at 561-718-2361.
Yes, the awesome teachings of Apostle Vernon Whitaker. He's a great teacher of this word.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I truly believe in giving you what the Lord has said. And when we come to church, no matter who church I go to, wherever I go, I'm always at home. Amen. Because I'm in my Father's house. So we always want to have a good time in the Lord and praising God and lift up the name of Jesus. And our motto is that we should get somebody saved, somebody delivered, somebody healed. I don't care what kind of service you have. You should always come to church with the expectation of God doing something in your life.
Yes, something on
just,
your mind.
Yeah,
yes.
Just don't come to church just to be coming. But come and say, God, I need
looking
a break.
For something, yes.
God, I need a healing. God, I need to get out of this situation. God, whatever it is, whatever you're looking for, the Lord always have an answer. And before we go into our program, into our prayer, we're getting ready to say our motto. All right, church, are you ready to say it? Here we go. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I really love that because now I made the enemy mad. I don't care what he do or what he say. Guess what? He cannot and will not and cannot take my joy. So I'm going to go ahead and let Apostle open up us in prayer and we'll get on to our lesson today.
Yes, good morning, radio listeners. Lord, Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you with open minds, open hearts to receive the word of God. Father, open us and bring clarity to us this morning in what you would have us to say to the listeners in the radio land this morning. And we pray that that word penetrate and prick somebody's heart and bring about change. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bring about change. I listen to your prayers there, Apostle. Then, you know, last night as we went to St. Cloud, and I was trying to ask the Lord what we need to do today on the radio. And he gave me this, and I hope this will help somebody to overcome, help somebody to be delivered, or help somebody to get out that situation that you've been in. You've been trying for years, and you don't know how to get out, or you don't know which way to go. And it seems like no matter what you do, who you go to, it seems like nothing is working or nothing is happening in your life. So then, how do I overcome when it seems that nothing is working? How do I overcome when it seems like nothing is working? How do I overcome when I'm about to give up? How do I overcome when I have lost hope? How do I overcome when my self-esteem is low and I am very vulnerable to different situations and different people's coming in and trying to run my life and trying to tell me how to live? And I listen to their advice and their advice does not pan out in the way that they said it's supposed to go, and seem like I get deeper and deeper into my low self-esteem, and I get with somebody who come in and then try to run my life or try to tell me what to do or be overbearing in my situation, and I seem like they won't allow me to think for myself. They won't allow me to be able to use my imagination and my mind. I have to do whatever they sue. How can I overcome when I cannot find the right answer that I'm looking for? And I've been searching, and I've been looking, and I've been praying, yes, and I've been going to different peoples and talking to different prayer partners and different pastors and going to different churches and listening to different preachers on the television giving all this advice, but yet seem like I cannot find the right answer. No matter where I go or no matter who I talk to, but seem like their advice does not line up for what I'm looking for. It seems like I don't find no comfort in what they're trying to tell me. How can I overcome when nobody can give me the right answer? How can I overcome when I pray and I pray and I pray, but seem like God does not hear my prayers? Seem like the more I pray, seem like the worse things get.
And it's not only that. It's you know, sometimes we're facing situations. You know, there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to turn. You know, when I'm trying to go straight ahead. You know, trouble seems to be there. When I turn to the right,
trouble
is there. When I turn to the left, trouble is there. When I go look in behind me, trouble is there. How do I overcome?
How?
That tells me that there's a missing link within myself and between God. How do I get that connection? How? Where is the relief gonna come in at?
Yes.
We can go into 1 John chapter 5, and we're gonna read verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Yes, it seems like is there a magical word that someone can say? Is there any special method that I can do to overcome? Do anybody in this world have the right answer or the right method that I can overcome? Who can I rely on or go to help me to overcome? Where can I get my comfort in overcoming? And the scripture that you read, Apostle, is fitting, because we need to understand is that whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, let's stop right there on that part of the scripture. In order to overcome, you got to be born of something. And if we was to listen and hear to the word of God and allow the word of God to penetrate and allow the word of God to saturate our minds, if we was to just line up and follow the commandments of God, then we can overcome the world. So we need to understand that there's more than one forces is working against us. There are forces that we cannot see. There are forces that we don't understand. Yes. There are forces that we have no clue to what's happening in our lives. So now God is telling us how we can overcome. We're trying to help somebody to overcome your situation today. I don't care what kind of situation that you're in. I don't care what it look like, what it feel like, or what it seemed like. But I'm here to tell somebody today, you can overcome. I don't care whether you're an alcoholic, a drug addict, homosexual, a lesbian, liar, stealer, murder, whatever it is. You can overcome.
Yes, you can. Yes,
nothing,
you can.
Nothing.
There's an answer.
It's impossible for my God. Come on now.
Yes, there's an answer. There's an answer to this.
Always an answer.
And see, my thing is, the way to overcome is to do what?
Yes.
Believe.
Believe. Come on now.
That's the first thing we got to grasp.
Yes, yes.
Believe.
Believe.
The greatest weakness in the world today is unbelief.
Come on now. You don't hit that. You don't took that hammer and hit that nail right on the head. Because we got too many people who don't believe.
They don't believe.
They don't
they
believe.
Say they believe.
Come on, Apostle.
But when it comes to the truth.
The truth.
And the reality part of it, then all those things that you just mentioned, you know, why am I facing this problem
yes.
or why am I facing that problem?
Yes.
I want to be free, but I can't get free.
Yes.
Because we're putting our belief or our faith into man
Come
and not
now.
God.
Not God. There you go.
It's not about the flesh or the carnal, the
yes.
the carnality of
yes.
the man.
Yes.
But it's about Jesus.
Mm.
Mm. Once I give my mind totally to Jesus, then things can change for me. I can become whole again. If I do what? Believe. But not believing in my friends, not believing in my husband, not believing in the pastors, because you got some leaders that's just not living right.
Come on now.
And then they send all of these subliminal messages out to the congregation or the people.
Yes.
But if I believe in God, it's not what they say or how they live, is preaching the truth, the true word of God. Do I believe in the true word of God in order for my deliverance to come about, happen?
Yes, yes. It kind of reminds me of a story in the Bible when Jesus was doing all these miracles. Now, we know that he healed the leper and he made the blind seeing and he made the crippled man walk and the man got up off the bed. He even raised up the dead, called Lazarus out of the grave. Young lady that was laying in the bed dying, and Jairus came to Jesus. Jesus went in and so said she wasn't dead, but she was asleep. And you had people that laughed Jesus or scorned Jesus and saying that, you know, you just out of your mind, she's dead. But he had to put them out. And why he put them out? Because of their unbelief. And the Bible even tells us that when Jesus went to his own hometown where he was born, he could not do no miracles in his own hometown. And the reason why he couldn't do that, because of unbelief. Unbelief kills everything that God wants to do.
Mm. He said the greatest power is the faith that worketh by love.
Yes.
He loved Lazarus.
Yes, he did.
But yet he took his time.
He took his time. Come on now.
To get to Lazarus.
Wasn't in no hurry.
He wasn't in a hurry because he had to do what? He had to allow them to do what? Bury him.
Yes.
They went through all the preparations.
Mm.
But after they buried him.
Yes.
And he came on the scene. And he told Lazarus to what? Arise.
Come forth, Lazarus.
Come forth.
Hey. Called him from the dead. Ain't that something?
That was love.
That sure was love.
But he had to prove the power of God through love, through not allowing man to rush him to do what he needed to do. Because they were saying, well, if you would have came, this never would have happened.
Come on now, yes. If you say you love him.
But who held him up?
Yeah.
Mary Magdalene.
Yes.
Not Mary Magdalene, Mary, who's just there. Mary and Martha, the two sisters.
Yes.
He was just there spending time with both of those sisters. How they just one was in the kitchen and doing her thing, and Mary was just right there.
Right there.
Soaking in, taking everything in that God had to, that Jesus had to offer her.
Yes.
She just wanted to praise and worship.
Come on now, you said
it. But they felt like that was a hold up.
Hold up.
When it really wasn't, because this was a part of the plan.
Yes, it was.
So we have to not allow people, even though they try to hold us up from getting to Jesus, we got to learn how to just break away for ourselves.
Yes, yes. We know that there's a lot of Lazarus out there in the radio land today. And we're going to speak to the Lazarus. We're going to say, Lazarus, come forth.
Come forth.
Lazarus, come. You got to get out of the dead situation. You got to come out of that grave. You got to be where you can be born again, where you can be raised up. You got to raise up out of that situation.
My Lord.
And we understand that. The Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God, which may we may understand, every person that is born of God is a new creature. And the principle, listen to this now, and the principle of grace works in them. Thank God for grace. Then you got faith. Come on, somebody. Every time Jesus healed somebody, what did he say? Your faith had made you whole.
Your faith.
Your faith. So we got to get out of this unbelief if we want to overcome, and knowing that I'm more than a conqueror. Ain't nothing impossible for God to do. If I just believe that it's already done, guess what? It's already done. But because of my unbelief, that nullify what God wants to do in my, God gonna get the glory out of your life. This is what he's trying to do.
Exactly. So what you're really saying, Apostle, is that love, mercy, and grace brings together faith. It brings faith together. My God, this is awesome. This is awesome.
And we know that grace is a gift of God, and it operating in his spirit. So then it goes on to say, overcome the world. Now, here's where I think we really fall short, because we don't understand that there's a God of this world.
Yes, it is.
And his name is Satan. They call him Lucifer. They call him the devil, the one-eyed dragon, whatever you want to call him. He is the God of this world. And see, and I think a lot of people don't believe that he had power. Yes, he got power now. When God kicked him out of heaven, he did not take his power. And I used to wonder, why, Lord, did he take his power from Satan when he fell? You know me, when I get in church, and you need to understand, I thank God for Satan. I thank God for Satan. But look at this. If God would have took Satan power and Satan could not bring me no trials and tribulation, I will never pray to God.
That's right.
I'll never stay on my knees. So long as Satan is chasing me, that means that I got to stay on my knees. And the more that I stay on my knees, then that increased my relationship with Jesus Christ. Now I'm an overcomer, because now I know where my problem has come from. And I know that I don't have the power to overcome those things. There is a greater power than me. So now I have to go to Jesus in order to pray to the Lord so that he may strengthen me, so that I can overcome. Because the Bible says that Jesus said, when you are weak, guess what? I am strong. So I take my weakness, because a lot of times people like to take your weakness and try to use that against you.
Yes, yes.
But you take my weakness, all that does make me strong. Ah, come on, somebody. It just makes me strong. I'm not relying on myself. I'm not relying on my understanding. But I'm relying on what the Lord has said and what he had promised me. See, this is where we fall short, because we don't understand that there are things in this world, like lust, will cause us to fall.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people look at us because we are apostles and like we got the handle over this thing. I get tempted like everybody else.
My Lord.
I ain't no different from nobody else.
We all do. Yes.
Satan come after us harder than he does anybody else. because of the stature that we have and the anointing that we have. So now he really wants us to make us fall out of the grace of God. And then you got false prophets that goes around into the world and prophesizing all this false stuff. And then you got wicked men of the world. And then we got temptation. Then we got snares. And we got evil documents. We got the wrong documents being taught about the word of God. We have so many different religions.
My Lord.
In this world.
You know, you mentioned something about Satan.
Yes.
Is the god of this world.
Yes, he is.
You know, this world is designed,
mm-hmm,
and is filled with fear and torment.
Yes.
Remorse and brokenness. But you know, with faith and love,
mm-hmm,
it's assured to overcome.
Yes.
I say faith and love, we are sure to overcome the things of this world,
yes, yes,
and the plan that Satan has,
yes,
for us. Let's read 1 John, same chapter, 5 and 5. He said, who is he that overcomes the world,
mm-hmm,
but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
Mm-hmm.
Who believes?
Mm.
Do you believe?
That's right.
Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
Because if you don't believe that, then what's the point or the purpose of having what? Faith.
Yeah, faith.
How can you overcome if you have no faith?
Faith. Got to have faith.
God has established the earth and the humanity on the lines of faith.
Yes.
That's what we were made of. That's the way the whole thing is designed.
Damn. You know, Apostle, you said something about love. Maybe somebody out there right now that listen to a voice believe that nobody loves them. Somebody right now up on the sound of our voice may not know what true love is all about. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you.
Oh, Jesus loves you.
And how do I know that Jesus loves you or loves me? Because the Bible tells us so, that he loved us first. He was not made. He was not asked. But just because he loved us, then we should return his love to him. And then I used to ponder, wonder, well, how come Jesus loved us? Because, well, he learned that from his Father. He saw his Father exhibit the love towards us, and by him being the Son of the true and living God. So he followed in the Father's footsteps and saw that God loved us, so he fell in love with us. And the Bible tells me so. If you don't know and understand, there's somebody who loved you. I don't know how low your self-esteem is. I don't know what situation you are. But if you believe what I'm telling you today, that Jesus loves you, that is always going to be a love that can't nobody surpass. God give us a love that
it
is
conquers
hard
fear, yes,
to come and over. We can't measure up to the love that God has given us. We can't measure up to the love that Jesus has given us, because we all fall short of the glory of God.
Yes.
But Jesus loves us. Then it goes on to tell us in this verse that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And we need to know that your faith, the great things, the wonderful victory that describe your faith. And we must understand that it's the grace itself that through Jesus Christ, and that we are supported, we are strengthened, we are assisted, and we are animated by the Lord. So I don't care what you're going through. If you need some help, Jesus is your answer. I don't care what kind of addiction that you're going through. So if a person tell me that I can't overcome, that I can't quit doing what I'm doing, and the reason why you can't quit, because you don't want to quit.
That's right.
Anything that you want to stop doing, I will guarantee you, you'll stop doing. So I have learned in this walk with the Lord that I cannot do this by myself. I need a greater power to assist me. Oh, come on, somebody. In doing what I need to do.
See, I can see the Lord's hand.
Yes.
It's reaching out for somebody
right now.
Today. Right now. All he's asking you to do is just come.
Just come.
I'm here.
Yes.
Just believe on me.
Just believe.
Whatever it is that you need or whatever it is that you're going through, just come.
Just come.
My hand is extended.
Yes.
All I want you to do is just reach out.
Reach out.
And grab my hand. Come to me as you are.
Yes.
Broken. Battered. Depressed.
Yes.
Tormented.
Messed up,
jacked up. However it is that you're feeling, God says, I'm here for you.
I'm here for you.
Today.
Yes.
I'm the only one that can clean you up and beautify your flesh and make you whole again.
Yes.
I'm the only one that can do that.
Yes. Just like a little baby. You know, when a little baby is trying to walk and a mother reach out.
And she wants to make sure the baby is safe.
Grab the baby hand.
Yes.
Oh, my God. And the baby feel that comfort and feel that secure. That's what Jesus want to do for you. Reach out and grab his hand and feel that comfort, feel that release, knowing now that I'm secure. And Jesus said, whoever is in my hand, can nobody pluck it out. Nobody can pluck out what Jesus has in his hand. We can overcome anything that we want to overcome. If we, what did I say it again? Believe. And have faith.
Faith in God.
Have faith in God. It's true to believe and have faith. Man, time goes so fast when you are trying to do the work of the Lord.
But it's okay.
Yes.
Because we're here today to tell you that as leaders, as pastors, you know, we are held accountable for your life.
Yes.
And if we have to set the example, because you never know who's watching you.
That's right.
So we want to be the example that you're watching to exemplify God's love.
Yes.
The love that we have for you and for the people of God.
Yes. This is Chief Apostle Vernon Whitaker, along with my lovely wife, Apostle Betty Whitaker from First Church 54 Fellowship. We are located at 1689 Biltmore Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida. You can give us a call on my cell at 561-718-2361. If you just want prayer, send us a prayer request at firstchurch12@gmail.com. Come visit us next Sunday at 11 o'clock for Bible study, and our morning service starts at 12. Come on, here we go. Get ready to leave. Here we go. One more time. This is the day
that the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad
in it.
Happy holidays and a good year and then Christmas and all that.
And
But remember one thing. Jesus
loves you.
Loves you. Thank you for listening to the true word of God with Apostle Vernon and Betty Whitaker. I want to invite you to worship with us this Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We are located at 1689 Biltmore Street in Port St. Lucie, Florida. If you would like more information about our ministry or this program, you can call us at 561-718-2361. Join us next week at the same time for the true word of God.